Dory, how is it that you are so good at all the stuff no one else wants to do?
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Welcome to the Carter Subaru Studios and our top stories this hour, including the exclusive story that we are breaking this afternoon on the Dory Monson Show. Before I get to all of that local stuff, how about this? A government employee in New York City. She works in human resources. Eliana Bauta. She's 36 years old. She was just sentenced to 2 years in prison. She stole $300,000 taxpayer dollars. And what'd she spend it on, you're wondering? To put a voodoo hex on her ex-boyfriend.
That much?
Yeah, $300,000. She allegedly paid a supernatural specialist to put a spell on her ex-boyfriend.
She must have really hated him.
And I'm just going to tell everybody who's listening right now, I will put a voodoo hex on the person of your choice for one-third of that amount, $100,000, and I will put a voodoo hex on anybody because you know my motto, twice the voodoo at half the price. Let's see what else.
Is this real news?
Yeah, it's real news. I don't do fake news.
What source was that?
That would be...
National Enquirer.
No, it's the New York City newspaper. New York City newspaper. She put a voodoo hex on her ex. Want to remind everybody that we are doing our second presentation of What Are the Odds in evening with me. and listen to this. I told Nicole and Ursula and Dave, who all introduced me the first show a few months ago, I said, you guys, I don't want to take any more of your time. Don't come. And you both said that you want to come.
Absolutely. We wouldn't miss it for the world.
Dave texted me last night and he said, can I help with the Federal Way show? How sweet is that?
Love him.
So anyway, we still have tickets available. They are going fast. But all you have to do to get yours is go to mynorthwest.com/events. And we have a link right there. And I hope you'll enjoy it. I've worked really hard on putting this thing together, and it's just a story of goal setting and the extraordinary people who have helped me in my life, my career, and all that stuff.
And everyone leaves feeling really good.
I hope so.
No matter where you are on the political spectrum, anything, it's like you feel good at the end.
And it's, yes, there's no, they're tiny.
Teeny.
But it's all in good fun. But yeah, no, it's a very small part of it. So anyway, mynorthwest.com/events to get your tickets. The last show sold out really quick, so I'd love to have you join us. And again, it's in Federal Way, Friday night, September 13th. And I know we have great listeners down in South King and Pierce and Thurston counties and all down there. And we wanted to find a location that would work great for all of you. And it's double the size of our last venue. So we want to get everybody a chance to come in, see us and hang out with us in the lobby after the show and all of that stuff. So mynorthwest.com/events. And with that as mere prelude, let's get right to our big lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
We did break an exclusive story at noon today. If you want to see the details, the supporting documents, we have them up now at mynorthwest.com. These are tough times in King County leadership. Dow Constantine has a myriad number of problems. We broke the story a couple of months ago about how he's abusing his executive protection detail, using these trained sheriff's personnel as his personal Uber so he can go out drinking many nights. And how he would badge his way into concerts saying, I'm Dow Constantine. So that's the story we broke. Then we find out last week A former King County Parks director alleges that Dow Constantine used his power to have millions of dollars in King County Parks concession contracts funneled to his friend and political donor, David Meinert. David Meinert's a guy who at least 11 women have accused him of anything from sexual misconduct to sexual assault to rape. 11 women. And Dow Constantine allegedly funneled millions of dollars in concession contracts to his political donor. The King County Ombudsman's Office is investigating that right now, even though you and I, the taxpayers, paid off the whistleblower $275,000, and part of the agreement was the Ombudsman's Office would not investigate it. Explain to me why Dow Constantine would give somebody $275,000 and, as part of the agreement, say the Ombudsman's Office will close the investigation. Well, to their credit, the Ombudsman's Office, they said, yeah, we're going to investigate this because it's in the public interest. So Dow Constantine, who, by all appearances, I mean, we know about the affair that he had a few years ago. We have certainly plenty of allegations of him being quite a womanizing drinker. All of that. That's one problem at the top of the county. The other is Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik. And the story that we exclusively broke 2 hours ago, that same ombuds office in King County, by the way, they're not allowed to call it the ombudsman office because that's sexist. just another example of how loony we are. It's the ombuds office. So they are now investigating a allegation, and the source for this complaint to the ombuds office, they have sent our show and our reporter, Carolyn Osorio, who's been covering a lot of these angles with us. They sent us all of the documents that alleges that Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik, she gave the undersheriff, Scott Summers, an extra. I'll back up a second. If you work in the sheriff's office for King County, you're allowed to carry over 480 hours of vacation, 12 weeks, which most employees do until the end of their career, and then they get a big cash payoff. They get a check for $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 for the vacation they didn't use. Not the way the private sector works. That's one of the many scams of the public sector. And a lot of people say, that's not a scam, that's negotiated. Yeah, it's a scam. The politicians who negotiate these deals are bought off and paid for by the unions that support their campaigns. It's all cronyism. Here in the private sector, my radio station, Bonneville, Cairo, we're allowed to carry over 2 weeks of vacation, 80 hours. Anything over that, use it or lose it. I have lost vacation most years of my career because I carry over the maximum 2 weeks, but I've had a lot more that I've foregone that I did not take. Government, very different. You can carry over 480 hours. Well, the undersheriff, Scott Summers, the year before Johanknik became sheriff, he wanted to carry over an extra 176 hours. So instead of 480, he wanted 656 hours carried over. That was rejected because the policy, the rule in King County, is you can't carry over more than 480 hours. Well, Johanknik becomes sheriff, and he requests an extra 144 hours. Which is well over $10,000 in just taxpayer money being given to this guy. Johanknik approved that, even though most of the people in the sheriff's department, 108, had extra vacation. And almost every one of them had to either donate their vacation hours to coworkers who had long-term care situations, or they just lost anything more than 480. So why would she gift over $10,000 worth of public funds to this one guy? Well, unbelievably, in the letter that Mitzi Johanknik wrote, she said, and I quote, about Scott Summers, she said, "Had he not been supporting my candidacy, I believe Summers would certainly have had more opportunity to use accrued leave." Ooh, let's get this straight. So because he was so busy working on Mitzi Johanknik's campaign, he was too busy to take vacation. And then when she's elected, she gives him $10,000 tax dollars. You're in my money. Which a lot of people, since we broke the story at noon, said, oh, wait a second. Why didn't he, was he campaigning on work time, which is not allowed for public employees? If he was working on her campaign and that made him too busy, he should have taken vacation hours so that he could campaign for her on his own time and not on the public dime. Either way, this stinks. It's cronyism. And if you weren't listening a couple of hours ago, I'll repeat that this is consistent with an emerging picture that I'm getting from cops and lots of sources about Mitzi Johanknik. People who have been in meetings with her tell me that she is the most incompetent sheriff they've ever seen in King County. Now, you and I also know that she is a blatant liar to me because she said she will always come on the show, answer tough questions. Man, I got a lot of tough questions for her. But she lied when she told me that she would always pick up the phone anytime. She absolutely lied about that. So we're starting to see that, you know, the lies she was willing to tell you as a voter, me, as somebody who had her on the show, that might just be emblematic, symptomatic of some much deeper problems. It's a sheriff's department where there are some serious public safety issues. They are dangerously understaffed. They have so many open positions right now with the King County Sheriff's Office. And I feel so bad because I know a lot of wonderful men and women who work and do great, great job with the sheriff's office. And they are being very poorly served by incompetence at the top. And now we'll see. We're told that the ombuds office in the next week or two will release its findings of her apparently gifting 10,000 tax dollars to a guy because he was so busy working on her campaign. Cronyism at the top. Between Mitzi and Dow, King County has some pretty serious leadership issues right now. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
I gotta get something off my chest here. So, as you know, there's a primary ballot that's probably in your hands right now. I'm trying to work on my advice. A lot of people have asked my thoughts on various candidates and issues, and I'm trying to pull together something that we can post on My Northwest. By the way, the Mitzi Johanknik story, all the supporting documentation is posted right now, MyNorthwest.com. One of the issues that I will not be able to vote on, since I am not a Seattle resident. Seattle Libraries is asking for a massive property tax increase. The last levy was $123 million. They want to nearly double that to $219 million. Why? Well, with all of that money, one of the major things that they want to do is forgive fines for overdue books. You know, because people like Councilwoman Deborah Juarez, she said, I'll be first in line to get that amnesty when I don't return my books on time. So the Seattle Times had a big story, and it showed the correlation from neighborhood to neighborhood in Seattle between income and overdue library books. And what it said is, look at this. The lower income neighborhoods, they're the ones who have the overdue books. So fining people for not returning a book to the library is an undue burden. It disproportionately hits the poor. We have to get rid of fines. Why should anybody who can take the time to go to a library and check out a book, why should they be burdened with having to go back to the library to return that book? And it disproportionately hurts the poor. And that is the exact wrong way of looking at it. The reason that most people are poor is because most people, and I'm talking as somebody who grew up in poverty, the reason most people are poor is because they don't have the life skills to be financially more successful. Not all. I mean, for some people, tragedy has befallen them. There are lots of other reasons. But for most people, they simply do not have the life skills to be more financially successful. One of those life skills is being on time. I mean, one of the life skills that I was so passionate about trying to teach kids when I was coaching them is just be on time. It's better to be 30 minutes too early than 30 seconds too late to something. And my penalties were harsh for anybody who was 5 seconds late to, you know, the report time for the gym for a game. You didn't play in the first half. If you walked in that gym door 5 seconds late, you sat for the first half of the game. Why? Because there are few life skills more important than just showing up on time. It's a big part of being successful. Just be there. Show up. Be reliable. Be an everyday person. You don't ever take mental health days. You don't just drift in whenever you feel like it. And the correlation isn't that library fines are unfairly burdened on the poor. It's that poor people often have life skills where they just can't return a book on time, and that's reflected in their income. Now, that's very harsh, I know. But sometimes somebody has to speak truth and not just try to sugarcoat everything so it'll sound good. So they want a massive property tax increase. They want everybody to pay double what they've been paying to the libraries. In fact, it's more than double because homes have appreciated over the last 7 years. They want you to pay more than double what you've been paying to the libraries. Why? So you can subsidize poor habits by people who can't return a book on time. And that's the exact opposite of what we should ever do in public policy. We should never reward negative behavior. That's not doing anybody any favors. It's not helping them in life. But leftism has almost everything backwards. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
First, let's go to check the news. And then we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Solid batch of awesome audio coming up next. Oh, it's that time of the day. We got an awful lot to do. Good batch of our awesome audio of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
At number three, so some world leaders had a press conference, and it was so sickening to listen to Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and the French European Council President Donald Tusk. They were just, taking shots at Trump because it's the hip thing to do. And it's just nauseating because what their country is compared to our country, it's nothing. Yeah, they have their merits. But just listen to this nonsense.
Number three.
Let's start with Justin Trudeau.
I think the comments made were hurt.
You're talking about the sender back at that North Carolina rally.
Full of wrong and completely unacceptable. And I want everyone in Canada to know that those comments are completely unacceptable and should not be allowed or encouraged.
Should not be allowed in Canada. Well, that's the difference between our countries. People in North Carolina still have free speech. But in Canada, they're moving toward where they will criminalize hate speech or what they consider hate speech or, you know, what some extreme radical leftist considers hate speech. And I do find it more than a little annoying when the Prime Minister of Canada, which, by the way, the reason they can do all their socialism little experiments is because they know that the United States will protect them militarily. Canada's military budget is $25 billion. United States is $730 billion. We spend 29 times what Canada does on military. And they know. They know if somebody tried to attack Canada, the United States would be the absolute first to help them and defend them and save them. So, you know, when Justin Trudeau gets, and then he says, you know, that wouldn't be allowed in Canada. I know you are moving rapidly toward towards criminalizing people's speech if it isn't leftist. And then, oh my goodness, the French European Council president.
I really feel at home here for many reasons. Also because in Montreal, I didn't hear anyone shouting, send him back.
How would you label that? What is the impact on Europe's ability to do business with a country who has a president that says these things?
Well, I'm here as a president of the European Union, the Council, and to discuss with our Canadian friends. It's I don't want to comment your neighbors.
Oh, that's refreshing. He doesn't want to comment on the United States. Well, at least he doesn't want to say anything bad.
Internal politics today. But.
But! There's always a but!
I think that for all of us, I've been for many years one of the most pro-American politicians in Europe.
Uh-huh.
It's difficult to understand some facts, some words.
Hey, listen, Pepe Le Pew. There are portions of Paris that people can't even enter now because they've been taken over by radical Islam, where women are not allowed in buildings in parts of Paris now because you've allowed the city to be taken over by radicals. So, yeah, I'll hold off on taking a lot of advice from you, too. You know what I'm talking about?
Can you kiss a pretty girl, baby boy, can you kiss a pretty girl, charming baby?
At number two in our awesome audio, a guy saw a panhandler come up and ask him for some dough. And he said, better yet, I'll give you $15 an hour if you want to come and do yard work. Panhandler refused. Listen to how the guy responded.
Number two.
Stopped at a red light. Ryan Bray caught the eye of a homeless man.
He reached his arms inside my vehicle, resting them, and said, hey, do you got any money? I said, no, but I have one better for you.
Instead of offering him a handout, Ryan offered the man a hand up, a job, $15 an hour doing yard work. But Ryan says his offer didn't go over well.
He said, absolutely not. Started getting belligerent, cursing. And then as I pulled off, he kicked my tire.
Ryan had enough.
I can't have my 13-year-old daughter and my wife driving with their windows up and being berated the entire time if they don't give money.
He went home, made a sign, and went to work to spread a message.
I mirrored him with my sign. Wherever he walked, I walked.
He wants others to realize what he tried to do.
And he made a sign that said, I offered this guy a job, he turned it down. And the homeless guy came up during the news report and started shouting obscenities at him. At number one, how about that Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers?
Number one.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
Tell you what, Tom Hanks is really physically captured. Mr. Rogers, too. They just released the trailer.
My neighbor.
That's our favorite audio of the day. Today's sign is next.
Hello, neighbor.
Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day! And we still have much more to do with today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline Australia. Ooh, it's the land down under, don't you know? That reminds me. This has nothing to do with the Today's Sign story. Although maybe it does. So I don't remember if this was Saturday or Sunday this last weekend. But it was a gorgeous day, about 80, 85 degrees. Sunshine, middle of the afternoon. I had just gone for a long bike ride. I flip on the TV. Or as they call it down in Australia, the telly. And I stumble on. It was just starting. Crocodile Dundee. I saw that in the theater 30 years ago. I haven't seen it since then. And so I just started watching it. And my wife's, you know, washing windows and working around the house. And I'm just laying on the couch watching. And she comes in and she goes, "Are you watching Crocodile Dundee?" I said, "Yeah." And I realized how ridiculous that was on an 85-degree afternoon. But I didn't care. I'd been very busy, you know, traveling the last couple of weeks. And we didn't have anything planned. So, and my wife, I don't understand this about her. She does not like rewatching movies. Ever. I mean, if she saw the movie in the theater 30 years ago, she doesn't ever need or want to see it again. Me... If Rocky or Goodfellas or Die Hard, if they're on, I'll watch them. Even if I've seen them 10 or 20 times. The Godfather. So I didn't mind watching Crocodile Dundee again. It was very dumb. It was a very dumb way to spend a gorgeous weekend afternoon. But you know what? I didn't care. I just didn't care. Anyway. Let's get back to Australia for today's sign. The management of a gym on the Sunshine Coast in Australia has now been forced to apologize after hundreds of people shared their disgust over a message board they had on the street right outside their front door. The gym's called Anytime Fitness, and they had on their message board, "Are you fat and ugly? Just be ugly." Which I think is really funny for a gym. I think that's a very, and that's good. You know, I can make fun of that because I'm ugly. You know, us ugly people can make fun of the ugly. But I thought that was a really funny message. Are you fat and ugly? Just be ugly. But so many people complained. They said that they were fat shaming. The spokesperson for the company says they understand the offense their sign may have caused members of the community. "We understand and sincerely apologize for any offense taken from the sign posted outside one of our clubs. The value of being an inclusive, accepting gym where our members feel comfortable and confident when they walk through our doors is at the heart of our business model. We don't endorse or tolerate any type of body shaming." So they said, "We apologize for any distress caused." Like you're in distress over that. Chill out. Go watch Crocodile Dundee, for crying out loud. Speaking of which, Macy's department store is being called out today for promoting eating disorders with their fat-shaming plates and dinnerware. And so on, it's just a regular size dinner plate, but there's a tiny circle in the middle of the plate, and it says skinny jeans. Meaning, if you want to wear your skinny jeans, you should only eat a very small portion of food. And then there's a medium-sized circle for favorite jeans. And then there's a large circle around the outside of the plate for mom jeans. And so people went nuts on Twitter and said, one person wants to get these plates banned in all 50 states. They're complaining that Macy's is insensitive about eating disorders and body issues. And so an effort is underway to get the Macy's funny plates removed from the stores. Nobody can have fun with anything anymore. And then finally in today's sign, can I have some cat music, please? Tell you what, that Al Stewart, very underrated musician, created a lot of songs that are still really great sounding today. Let me take you to New York, the Empire State, which has just become the first state in the nation to ban cat declawing. According to the assemblywoman who introduced the anti-declawing bill, this is a real triumph for cats and the people who love them. The, New York is the state, a few months ago, that lit up the Empire State Building in pink to celebrate the bill that allows abortions right up until the moment of birth. So New York is now the state where it's great to be a cat, horrible to be a baby. We can't take the claws off a cat, but we can kill a baby at 8.5 months of pregnancy. That makes good sense. And all of that is today's sign, the end is near. If you want to get tickets for our live show coming up on September 13th in Federal Way, everybody in the South Sound area, come and see our, it was our first ever live show. We did it a few months ago in Kirkland, and now we're bringing it to Federal Way. Go to mynorthwest.com/events to get your tickets. The VIP tickets already have sold out, but we still do have general admission, and it's a great theater there. So hope to have you there on September 13th, but you better get your tickets quick because they're going pretty fast. I really appreciate that. I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. But I'll think of a bunch of great stuff for tomorrow's show. Kenny, Mike, and Todd are coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Head up. The year of the cat.
I'm as reliable as rain in Seattle.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.